Hello, and welcome to the very first episode of Clutch Football, the football podcast from Serving Up Clutch. I'm your host, James Martin, and I'm joined by Fabio Duarte. How's it going, Fabio?
Good, thanks.
Great stuff. So, how this is going to work? This podcast is going to be a place for general football discussion, loosely structured around various different betting markets. So, we'll be giving some opinions, some tips, but also most likely getting sucked into ridiculous Gerrard versus Lampard debates before too long. We'll see how it goes. So our debut is going to be a two-parter season preview, taking you through all 20 teams and their prospects, and hopefully finding some potential season value bets. We'll also take a look at the top scorer, player of the year, and other markets along those lines. We'll be doing that at the end of each part, and end of part one, we'll be looking through specifically young player of the year, golden glove, and top assister. So stay tuned for that. But the first place to start is Arsenal. How do you see them getting on, Fabio?
Towards the end of last season, they definitely improved under Arteta, and I can't see them finishing as low as they did last season. With that said, the gap to the top four is still quite large. I don't think they'll be knocking on the door of the top four. They're still heavily reliant on Aubameyang for his goals. I think the best that Arsenal can hope for realistically this season is Europa League spot.
Yeah, I think we're thinking along similar lines on that one. I did a predictor table just to ease this podcast so we can talk about it more easily. And I had them sneaking into sixth, but it's a close run thing. In terms of betting value, it's hard to see that much. I mean, I had to look, they're 4-6 to finish in the top six. I can't see that being value because it's just so tight around that area.
I'd agree. I've got them seventh in my table, and I couldn't find any value there.
Is I do actually think Wolves could get above them again, but it's Spurs and Leicester where I'd be more surprised to see them finish above Arsenal. So could go either way. I mean, you can get them outside the top six at just over evens, which could be value potentially. But as I say, as I'm predicting the sixth, it's hard to tip that too strongly. Next on to Aston Villa. To be honest, I think they'll be there or thereabouts with relegation again, but I think they'll probably just about stay up. Problem areas are still there. I mean, Heaton's still going to be missing at least until the middle of October, so that's going to be a problem. Rayner's left now. They could start slow with that. There's a lot of teams down there, and I think they should probably just about have the quality to survive, especially if some of their striker links come through. Like, I mean, there's been Ollie Watkins has been linked, Edouard from Celtic, and now they're out of the Champions League. That might be a bit more likely to get through. I don't know, but what do you think about them?
With their current squad right now, I think they will go down. They're too reliant on Grealish. He was obviously their top goal scorer last season, their top assister. He created the most chances. He was fouled the most. And
And still
it
no
looks like
England
he's going to
call-up,
stick
weirdly,
around.
by the way. Just chucking
Yeah.
that
Yeah, he really should be called up
out
by
there.
now. I think he will stick around, at least for the start of the season. He could well leave in January if Villa aren't looking too good. I've got them to go down.
Fair enough.
I don't think they'll survive. They're far too reliant on him. They would need some quality signings to change that.
I certainly see what you mean about the reliance on Grealish. It definitely could go that way for them. I mean, as a fan, I'd be worried this season.
Yeah, they got two wins against top half sides last season. That's 9 points in total from a possible 60. Away from home, they were also quite poor, just two wins all season against Burnley and Norwich.
Yeah. But we'll move on to Brighton. This is probably my first fairly controversial pick. I think they'll do really well this season. I really rate Graham Potter. I think he did quite well to get them by the end quite comfortably safe in what was his first season. And I can see them kicking on. I have them 12th. What do you reckon?
Not far off mine. I've got them 14th. A little bit worse, but I agree. I think they will kick on a little bit from last season. I know they finished 15th,
Still kicking
but
on.
they've got they've got a fairly well-balanced squad. They've managed to get Dunk on a new contract.
Yeah, Lallana and Veltman in as well. I think they're both good signings.
If they can improve a little bit on their consistency, second year under Potter, I think there'll be no trouble with relegation. They should finish fairly well.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned Potter as well because I mean he's this kind of guru for squad morale. He's got like qualifications in it and stuff. It's all a bit mystic, but I mean when that's your kind of modus operandi, I guess the longer you're at a club, the better that's going to be. So that's just another reason I think they can improve on what they did last season.
Yeah, I agree with
Fair enough. Maybe not as controversial as I thought it was going to be, but at least we're on the same
that.
page.
In terms of betting value there, I can't see a lot. So,
Yeah, I did pick
yeah.
out one thing. It's a bit of a weird one, but you can get them at evens to finish above Leeds. I mean, not too much spoilers when we get to the Leeds section, but end of the day, I think that could be a decent bet.
Yeah, that's not too bad. That is a strange market, but at evens, that's not bad.
Okay, so I'll move us on to Burnley now, powering through. I think they'll probably drop off a little bit from 10th. I think that's probably a case of Dyche squeezing everything he could out of what is quite a limited squad. But that being said,
Yeah.
I don't think they'll be in relegation danger. They've got Barnes and Wood obviously up top, and the defence is very solid. I have them 14th. Maybe it's a bit harsh, but that kind of area.
Yeah, again, I think we're thinking on similar lines. I think they'll drop off a little bit, but only a little. I've got them at 11th. Yeah, I can't see them being involved in a relegation scrap. They aren't great against the top half. Again, only 2 wins against the top 10, but against the bottom half teams, they were pretty consistent. Only 4 losses from 20 all season, 13 clean sheets. And I expect that to happen once again, to be
Yeah, it's
honest.
hard to argue. Do you see any betting value with Burnley or
Nope.
not? Yeah, looking at this alphabetically, I was thinking this is going to be a rough ride. I was thinking similarly the
It gets
first year
better.
teams. But and on those lines, next up is Chelsea. This should be quite fun. Full disclosure, Fabio's a Chelsea fan. I'm very much not a Chelsea fan, but we'll see how similarly we're thinking here. I'll let you start.
Well, I think it's quite obvious we're going to win the league. No, I've got us as third. I think we're going to kick on quite a bit from last season. I wouldn't say title race, but I don't think the gap will be anywhere near as big as it was last season. We've made plenty of quality signings with Werner, Ziyech. It looks like Havertz and Thiago Silva are going to sign. Chilwell's been signed. So a lot of problem areas have been addressed. Last year, particularly after the restart, there was a lot of reliance on Pulisic to create something. And now Chelsea will probably have a plan B with all those creative players.
Yep. You say a lot of the problem areas have been addressed. I don't know how much I can agree with that. I mean, there's a lot of quality signings. I'm definitely not disagreeing with that. But are they in your problem areas that
I mean, we've got a lot of problem areas,
much?
but obviously the goalkeeper is still an issue. Kepa's save percentages were well documented last season. Lampard clearly doesn't trust him, but no one's been signed yet. Centre back is also a bit of a problem area.
Yeah.
Thiago Silva might be a decent
But he's turning
stopgap.
36.
He is, and the ones who are remaining at the club are a bit dodgy. Tomori is going out on loan, it sounds like. So I'm not 100% convinced about the defence. But Kante is going to be fully fit and rested, which he hasn't been for most of the season. So that should help. Kovacic improved a lot this year, player of the season. And another year in management for Lampard. Hopefully he's learnt a few things.
Yeah, I think that's all fair
So,
enough. I
yeah.
mean, to be honest, I am agreeing with you in third place. I'm just putting a much more negative spin on things. I think the gap will still be quite large.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I don't expect us to challenge for the title. I just hope for a smaller
That's
gap.
fair enough. Yeah, my only worries really were, as you were saying, I'm not sure how much the defence has been fixed. Even with Chilwell, I mean, don't get me wrong, I do rate Chilwell and he is still young. I think the fee is far too high. I think when you look at certain stats, he does look similar in profile to Alonso. I'm not saying he's
Don't say
I'm not
that.
saying he's not better than Alonso. He is better than Alonso, but whether it's the kind of signing that would transform the defense, I'd be very dubious about. So yeah, value's quite hard to find. I was scraping the barrel and thought kind of maybe request a bet or sort of Chelsea still finishing 10 to 15 points off the pace. I don't know what kind of odds you get on it, but provided they were evens or over, I'd say that's probably value.
Well, I've got two tips here. Not the best value, but I think they're both fairly likely. 8-13 to get top four, and 8-13 again to be the top London club, which I'm more confident on.
Yeah, I probably agree on the London club. That's probably value. I'm not sure I'd go for top four. I think they will get top four, but whether
Yeah, I can
yeah, it
understand
could
that.
be value. I can see why you've said it. It's not for me though. And on that
Yeah.
note, that's about as positive as you'll make me on Chelsea. So I'll move on quickly. We'll go to Crystal Palace. Yeah, I'm not fancying Palace this season at all. They were so reliant, like you were saying about Grealish, Palace were so reliant on the goals of Jordan Ayew, and even then, he only got nine.
That's not the sort of player you want to be relying
Yeah,
on. No offense to Jordan
I was
Ayew.
having a look at that, and
Some
and
offense.
it was nine from 25 shots on target, so he's not even taking that many shots. So whether he could get,
No, I don't rate him.
whether I do quite rate him, but not, I mean, whether you can rely on him, certainly when you're scrapping down at the bottom, I don't think you can. Yeah, it's just the signs aren't good for them. I mean, Eze is nearly done. I think that would be a good signing, but can you rely on someone who's only shone in the championship so far to keep you up? I mean, it's pretty risky if that's your strategy. Zaha was obviously a bit off the pace last year. If he sticks around and plays better, then they have a chance. They always have a chance if he turns up. But I think less you can get as high as 5-2 for the drop, and I think that's got to be value.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I've got them 18th. I think they will likely go down. When I was looking for stats for them, there's so many alarming stats. Seven straight defeats before the Tottenham match of end of the season, obviously. They managed just four wins a year. Three of them were by just one goal to nil. A lot of their positive results are very narrow.
Yeah.
21 league goals was the second worst in the league. They're overly reliant on their defence showing up and they don't score enough. Zaha underperformed last year, just 10 goal contributions. Yeah, they're reliant on him, and if he has a year like he did last year, I think they will go down.
Yeah, for what it's worth, I also had them 18th. We haven't conferred on this, but it seems like we're pretty much on the same page so far. Maybe we'll split when it comes to Everton. My bias again. I'm a Liverpool fan, but nonetheless, I think this is a good tip, regardless of where your loyalties lie. 11 to 10, bottom half finish.
I'm not too far off. I've got them at
Okay.
ninth. Last year, I was very guilty of overestimating them. I was tipping them for top six, even
I
top
wish we'd had a
four.
podcast last year.
Yeah, so that backfired. But I think it's going to be a bit different this year. I'm fairly confident they'll get a top 10 finish. Carlo Ancelotti is obviously a world-class manager. He started very well. They were inconsistent after the restart. They only had one win in six when the season ended, and Calvert-Lewin didn't score. But they're being linked to James Rodriguez, which is interesting.
Yeah.
I had down in my notes lacking some creativity, so that definitely helps.
Yeah.
Question marks over Jordan Pickford as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's more questions than answers when it comes to Jordan Pickford, but James does change things. You're not wrong. But I'm also thinking for slightly different reasons to you, because I mean, yeah, he does improve the creativity, but also the thing with Ancelotti is when you look at his career, what he's really excelled at is just kind of letting great players get on with it. And when you're at Everton, that's not a great plan. But more players like, you know, Rodriguez, fair enough, maybe he'll be able to get the best out of them. And I'm not saying top 10 is beyond them. They could easily get top 10, but I think over evens at bottom half is generous for a team that finished 12th and didn't even really look like it was that much of an underperformance.
Yeah, fair enough. I've got 8 to 11 top 10 finish written down here, which I think could be value. The
Yeah,
main
slightly.
thing behind that is definitely Ancelotti.
Yeah, I can see why you've said it. So you, anyone listening, you just have to decide who you trust more on this one. But I think there's more value in bottom half, even though I think they could easily finish top. But yeah, I can see
Yeah,
both
I can see
sides.
that.
All right, we'll leave that there. At least we've disagreed on something.
Yeah.
We'll move on to Fulham. It's an interesting one, Fulham. Kick us off with them.
I've got Fulham down as 17th. I think they might just about survive. Obviously, last time they made the mistake of signing far too many players. They spent over 100 mil on 15 first team players, and that did not end well. But they do have some Premier League experience. They've got Mitrovic, who scored 11 goals that season when they went down. He was a championship top goal scorer last year. I think not because they're necessarily that good, but I think they're a three sides worse than them.
Yeah.
So that's why I've got them in 17th.
Yeah, I mean, Sorry to be boring. I also have them in 17th for essentially the same reasons. I pretty much flipped a coin between them and Palace when I was trying to decide who to pick to go down. Mitrovic is the deciding factor. Goals in the Championship, as we know, do not always translate to goals in the Prem. But at least Mitrovic, as like you say, he has scored decent goals at this level before. I don't want to go too much into the kind of, Premier League proven sort of myth, but evidence of him scoring well in this team and in this league, which
Yeah,
has
exactly.
played
I
his
think
time.
it's got more weight. It was fairly recent, the same team, some same players. So I've got 8 to 11 to stay up, written down, but personally, I wouldn't back that. I don't think it's very good
Yeah,
value.
it's too touch and go. I'd probably steer clear, but we do both have them to just about stay up. So make of that what you will. This should be fun. Leeds United. The betting markets are full of Leeds specials, which I was taking a look at. They're always fun. I think most of them, any non-Leeds fan wouldn't touch with a barge pole. Just sort of Leeds top six finish and other fairly sensible things. I think I've probably told you this before, but I'll share it now. I had a friend at uni who was a Leeds fan, and I'm pretty sure this was in Bielsa's first season. I was having a chat with this mate of mine, and he says, "Yeah, I'm pretty sure next season, I just can't see Leeds finishing any lower than sixth." I was like, okay, well, that seems reasonable. I mean, they were second in the Championship at the time. I'm thinking, yeah. I mean, another playoff run at least seems plausible. This is when I realised he was talking about the Premier League. Having decided promotion was a given. That didn't work out that season, but they're finally up now. Let's see how they get on. I rip up any trees in that sense, but I also don't think they'll go down. I think they're looking the best shape of the newly promoted teams. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I agree. I think they are the most likely to finish highest from the promoted teams. I've got them in 12th, which is a bit lower than some people are thinking. But yeah, I think that Bielsa is a big factor in that. He also has a big pull in the transfer market. A lot of players will want to sign for them based solely off him. It looks like they're getting Rodrigo from Valencia for 30 mil. So that will definitely help because there's a lot of question marks over Bamford. He's 27 now. He's not done it in the Premier League before. Yeah, I think with Rodrigo signing, they should be fine.
Yeah, I've been a little bit less generous than you. I have them 15th, but again, in that kind of slot where it probably will still be not that tight. I don't think it'll come down to the last day or anything like that. I'd also probably be a bit harsher on Rodrigo. He's had a much quieter last couple of seasons since he was really kind of exploding. I don't think he's guaranteed goals or anything like that. It'll be interesting to see whether him or Bamford end up playing more regularly. But yeah, if either of them can start firing, then they should definitely be okay.
They had a very solid defense, obviously. So I think if they can build on that.
But all of that being said,
Yeah.
you've tipped them 12th, I've tipped them 15th, and I think much higher than that is unlikely. So for value, I mean, it's not huge odds, but I still think it's probably slightly generous, just generated by the lead height we mentioned before. 1-3 for a bottom half finish. I think that's quite low.
With that.
Okay, so we've done nine teams. That means that we're coming up to the halfway point. And what better way to round out part one than Leicester City? Always a bit of a handful to predict. Sometimes they're winning the league, sometimes they're nearly relegated, but we'll give it a go. Obviously, manager who's better than he often gets credit for, in my opinion. But this year, they're balancing the league and the Europa League. An aging Vardy, I'm sure he'll do well again, but he can't keep up the levels of last season, I wouldn't have thought. We saw them drop off towards the end of last campaign. I think that'll carry over to some degree as eighth, so make of that what you will. What about you?
I've also got them at
Come
eight.
on.
Yeah, I agree with pretty much everything you said there. But they had a second half collapse last season, just 4 wins from their last 17, which is poor by all accounts. Jamie Vardy, I think he'll score 10 plus goals at least, but he is turning 34 fairly soon. I think the Europa League involvement will be the real killer for Leicester. Not too big a squad, so I think that's going to stretch them a little bit. The last time they were involved in Europe, they finished 12th. I think they'll do a little bit better than that because the quality of their squad's improved since then. But I think eighth is about as high as I would see them finishing.
Yeah, probably. And that's a nice little segue into my one Leicester tip, actually, because, like I say, while I had them in eighth, I think if we are looking just purely for value, maybe 5-2 bottom half finish would be worth a stab. I mean, I don't know what you think about that.
It's not bad. I mean, personally, I wouldn't go through, but I can see how they could finish in the bottom half. There are other teams knocking on the door, and the Europa League could definitely cause that. And especially if they get an injury to a key player like Vardy.
We both had them in eighth, so I don't necessarily think it will happen. It's just a case of, is it as unlikely
Yeah.
as they think, as the markets think it is? And
There could be value there,
yeah,
yeah.
it's touch and go. It's touch and go. No, we'll move on to the individual player markets that we'll be covering at the end of this one. So we're saving the really big ones for the end of part two. So that'll be Player of the Year and Golden Boot. But that still leaves us with Young Player of the Year, Golden Glove, and Top Assists. I'll dive in on probably the most boring one, in my opinion, which is Golden Glove. I have Alisson for that.
Fair shout. I've gone for Edison.
Okay.
So, yeah, not too inspiring. I mean, Edison managed to get it last year, despite Man City being pretty terrible in the first half of the season by their standards. They improved a lot second half of the season defensively, and now they've actually made a few signings to strengthen the defence. I think Edison should get more clean sheets than last season. That might be enough to get the Golden Glove.
Yeah, that's a fair pick. Obviously, Golden Glove is just purely the clean sheet. It's not about the quality of keeper, and City arguably have the best squad. I don't think they have the best defensive squad, but equally, if you're at the other end of the pitch the whole time, then it doesn't really matter that much. So yeah, I can see the case for City getting the most clean sheets, and obviously Edison is the undisputed number one. So it's very possible. The reason I went for Alisson is I trust Liverpool's defence more. I even with City's additions so far, I would say Liverpool have the better man for man defence. I mean, that'll lead to more clean sheets, so it's pretty simple logic. But I think it'll be those two in a pretty straight shootout, to be honest.
Fair enough. I agree that Liverpool have the best defence man for man. So, one of those two.
Fair enough. Most assists, if you like.
All right, really boring one. I've gone for De Bruyne again.
Yeah.
Not true, really. I think he'll just replicate last season. Maybe not as many. But yeah, I can't see anyone besides Alexander Arnold getting too close to him.
It's funny you should
I've
mention
also got.
Alexander Arnold.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, that's my pick. But mostly because I knew you'd pick De Bruyne and I thought I'd mix it up a bit.
Yeah, makes sense.
I do think Trent has a good shot at it. I couldn't actually find any markets for it, so I don't know what the odds should be, but likely De Bruyne would be fairly heavy favourite, in which case I'd be more inclined to go for Trent. He's such a creative outlet in that Liverpool team. You can tell whenever he's not in the team, we just drop off horrendously. We're built for him to get assists. That in mind, I think he'll maintain the numbers. I mean, he broke his own assist record last season. I don't necessarily think he'll do that again, but even if he maintains the levels, if De Bruyne just drops off a little bit, then Trent's in the conversation.
I think that's fair enough. I can't see any other player getting too close to either of them. I've got Pulisic noted down, but that's a very outside bet.
Yeah, the trouble with Chelsea is just you don't really know how they're lining up next season, what the system's going to be like. There's so many attackers to jam in there now. That's the only reason I wouldn't be inclined to really discuss any of
Yeah,
them. But
fair enough. And as I say, I think De Bruyne will take it. So that's who I'd back.
fair enough. Young Player of the Year. You'll actually like my shout for this one. Speaking of Chelsea, I don't know if I'm allowed to tip this because he's not actually signed yet. But if he does sign,
Is
it's
it
Havertz.
Havertz? That's
Native, and with Werner actually confirmed as signing. I mean, that's a lot of assist potential there. He also played as a sort of shadow striker quite a lot for Leverkusen. So assists and goals, it's the headline numbers which people go for when they're picking Player of the Year, Young Player of the Year, stuff like that. And also, he's genuinely quite young. He's 21. I know you're eligible if you start the season at 23, but sort of traditionally, people are starting to go, you know what, this is a bit ridiculous. Let's pick someone who's actually young. So I think Havertz ticks those boxes.
think he's a good shout, and the signing is pretty imminent. I've gone for someone who has signed for Chelsea. I've got Pulisic. Reasons again, Werner signing will mean that Chelsea should score more. So chances that he creates are going to be converted more often. He's at 7-1. I think that's decent odds. But if Havertz were to sign, I might be tempted to go for Havertz over Pulisic.
Fair enough, fair enough. The only other thing I'd say is I was looking at historical winners. There is a fairly large England bias. So with that in mind, maybe someone like Greenwood or maybe Foden, if he gets some more minutes, could be in the conversation.
I could see that Foden's second favourite at the moment. I think he was 6-1.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
Alexander
think...
Arnold's favourite again.
Yeah. I don't think necessarily 6-1 is value because we have no idea on minutes. But if he is more regular like he was post-restart, then he's definitely a big contender. If you want me to make a crazy punt, just you can clip it up and get some clicks with it. If Brewster gets a move, 80-1. If he goes to a lower Prem team and fires them to safety with, 20-plus goals, it could happen. And then he's in the conversation.
Maybe.
Then he's in the conversation. So the only reason I say it is if he gets a move, that'll slash in half probably. So
it could happen. He could be the next Dominic Solanke.
It's a bad bet, but it's a value bet as well, potentially, if that makes any sense.
For 80-1, you can't argue with that.
And on that somewhat odd note, that's the end of part one. Thank you for listening to this very first edition of Clutch Football from Serving Up Clutch, and I hope you